Over 10 million Americans are officially unemployed in the economic downturn related to COVID-19, and as many as 18 million are collecting unemployment. Some economists say many of the lost jobs won't be back even after the pandemic subsides. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you lose your job temporarily or permanently because of the pandemic? Were you able to collect unemployment? Have you found another job? Are you thinking of changing careers? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Heather, welcome back to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Before we get to whether these kinds of jobs are going to come back, I want to talk about how many unemployed Americans there are and why it's hard to know how many unemployed Americans there are. There's a pretty big range in those estimates I just gave.
Yes, exactly. And it's confusing a lot of people, including policymakers. The official number at the moment that just came out on Friday from the Labor Department says that we have just shy of 10 million people, 9.5 million people officially unemployed. But here's where it gets a little tricky. In order to be officially unemployed, you have to be actively searching for a job. So you have to have gone out, you know, on the website, on one of those like Indeed.com or LinkedIn websites, and filed your resume or your application within the past month. Well, a lot of people who are at home taking care of their kids, or maybe they have a severe health issue and they don't want to, they really feel they can't work right now because of the pandemic, they're not searching for jobs. They're waiting till they get that vaccine so they can safely re-enter the workforce or until their kids can go back to school. And so what we know is you really need to add another close to 6 million people who have just dropped out of the labor force, especially women are a big part of that 6 million. And so that's why you hear people like the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen or the Federal Reserve Chief Jerome Powell talking about the true unemployment rate being closer to 10% and the true number of people unemployed probably a lot closer to 16 million. Because of those people who just can't even look for a job right now.
Now, we are recovering in general in the economy. And if I'm reading your reporting right, Heather, there's a thought like, okay, we may end up getting the same number of jobs back ultimately, but they're probably not going to be the same jobs. Like some sectors of jobs are going to be declining a lot. Do I have that about right?
You've got it spot on. The line I always use is we are recovering, but to a different economy. We're not just recovering to February of 2019. Things have fundamentally changed during this pandemic, particularly around more people working from home. There's probably going to be less business travel. And the big one that a lot of people forget is there has been more use and really an explosion of automation and use of robots. And that's probably not going to go away, even after all these vaccinations happen.
And let's start with that last point there, automation. What kind of lines of work have we seen automation, which presumably isn't cheap, get put into place during the pandemic and maybe it's going to stick around after?
We've seen it a lot of places. Some of the common ones people have seen as you go out your daily life, of course, more of those ordering touch screens when you go to do like a McDonald's or a restaurant. They're trying to cut down on that face-to-face interaction during the pandemic. Same thing at hotels. Instead of showing up and talking to that person when you check in, a lot of it is now done on your phone or done on an iPad, even at airports. If you've been in an airport, I know most of us haven't, but a friend of mine just traveled and she was saying, you know, I barely even talk to a person in the airport, even through security. Everything is automated now. And then there's some surprising ones. For years, we thought you're never going to be able to automate things like picking strawberries or things like doing in the meatpacking industry, you know, where somebody is literally on that meatpacking line hacking chicken off of the carcass that's moving by. That seemed to be a really hard skill to automate. And yet, in the middle of this pandemic, we have seen greater use of robots now doing more of those jobs, even in meatpacking plants.
And one that I think is going to be scary for people, Heather, I think I've heard a lot of stories from individual people, and it seems like this is a trend. Okay, the restaurant's closed or the travel hospitality thing is closed, but there's a warehouse job because Amazon is going gangbusters or other shipping companies. There's lots of warehouse work. We're seeing automation there too.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that surprised me because you're right. Warehouse jobs have grown. It's one of the few industries that's grown in the past year as everybody's been ordering, or many people have been ordering goods online. But we have also seen automation picking up there. In the story, I talk about Chewy, which is a where you can order pet supplies and dog food and cat food. And for instance, this company, Chewy, it's been growing a lot. A lot of people got pets during the pandemic to be that extra support animal or be that extra element of fun and joy. And at the same time, so they've been ordering all this pet food online. Chewy just opened in October its first fully automated warehouse. So there are no longer humans going and picking up that 50-pound bag of dog food that's going to ship to you. It's now picked up by a robot, put on a conveyor belt, and even in some cases boxed by a robot. And so you're starting to see that technology happen even in big warehouses.
Talking to Heather Long, economics correspondent for The Washington Post, looking at maybe big changes in what work looks like in the United States pre-pandemic to after pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your line of work? How was it affected, if at all, by the pandemic? Did you lose your job temporarily or long term? Are you looking forward to being able to go back to it? Have you gone back to it? Are you looking at a new career? If you worked not at home, are you working at home and maybe going to stay there in full or in part? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, if these jobs maybe aren't going to come back full force, Heather, but we think jobs are in general are going to come back, what are those other jobs now?
Well, exactly. Everybody's trying to figure that out. One of the boom areas, and I interviewed a bartender and a server in Miami he worked at a hotel restaurant, and he's already made the transition. He and his buddies at work were realizing that some of these restaurant jobs may not come back or may not pay as well as they used to because there aren't as many people coming through the hotels and the restaurants. And so he switched into real estate. He got his real estate license. We've seen during this pandemic a boom in home sales and also construction. Construction has also generally throughout the pandemic been adding jobs as people remodel, as people try to add on, new wings to their homes. Everybody trying to get these bigger properties, or just nicer finishing, remodel their bathrooms. And so those types of industries have certainly done very well. Well, obviously, also anything tech related. So there's a big push to get people who can do the jobs in the cloud and then cloud storage management and these types of jobs that are not necessarily, you don't necessarily need a bachelor's degree in computer science to do them, but you do need some basic skills, maybe a year or so of community college training to be able to do those jobs well.
And there's a key word you just mentioned, training. And a lot of people, looks like, are, at least according to your reporting, Heather, are thinking about this. How do we get these maybe former restaurant workers or hotel workers or whatever trained for these different jobs if this transition is really happening? How do we do that?
Yeah, I always say people are not stupid and they can see these trends happening. I talked to a Disney worker at Disney World, and she can see that. Yes, there's Disney will come back. People will eventually go back to these theme parks, but it may not be as many people, or it may be a different type of experience. And so she, like many people, there's obviously the online courses. I've certainly heard of many places across the country that have seen swelling enrollment. One of the big surprises, though, in this downturn has been that community college enrollment broadly has fallen. That's very different than what we saw in that terrible great financial crisis coming out of that 2007 to 2009. Community college enrollment in America spiked as people were trying to retrain, to get new skills, to get that associate's degree in the hopes of getting a better job coming out of that recession. Right now, we are not seeing that. A lot of it is the digital divide. So many of these classes are online, and some of the people who need these maybe would like to do retraining like that Disney worker. She was telling me, we're behind on our utility bills, we're behind on our internet bill, it may be shut off. So she can't think of taking that college class if she doesn't have reliable internet right now.
We're talking to Heather Long from the Washington Post, looking at the future of jobs in the post-pandemic era with concerns that some kinds of jobs may not make a comeback. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you need to learn new skills for the job market? Do you work at an industry that's been hurt by the pandemic, a restaurant, hospitality, services, otherwise? Will you be able to return to your old job if you've lost it? Are you looking to change completely? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Washington Post economics correspondent Heather Long. She's explaining what the economy could look like after the pandemic and why some kinds of jobs may not make a comeback, even as the economy as a whole recovers. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, and your experiences in the working world. Have you been unaffected, badly affected? Are you changing your line of work? Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. John is with us in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi, I just had a comment about maybe technology on a more global scale, right? It's inherently causing deflation in the sense that workers are more productive with technology. And I think what that's doing to the economy is it makes good paying jobs more scarce. I'd be curious about if that perspective is a valid one.
John, thanks for that call. And I've seen that pre-pandemic too, Heather, the argument that, okay, we don't need as many factory workers making a decent wage. We need fewer people who manage the computers and machines at a much higher wage. Is that a general trend you've seen that John's bringing up?
Yeah, I think John is spot on in his assessment. And that's sort of the theory behind automation. Yes, there's a big upfront cost, but ultimately you're going to need fewer workers down the road. And even if those handful of workers that are still left, even if they cost more money, it's still cheaper and better for the long run. I will say there's a fundamental debate about two things right now. It's interesting he brings up deflation. The two big debates in economics right now are, number one, this big $1.9 trillion stimulus bill that's just going through Congress, that's probably going to be signed by President Biden this week. Is that going to overheat the economy and cause too much inflation? So I'd say inflation is more of the concern at the moment. And I think the other big debate at the moment is what you and I were talking about at the top of the hour show, which is, are we still going to have jobs for everyone? Are we still going to have the same number of jobs after this crisis? Or is all of this automation, there's long been a concern that all of this technological development automation ultimately would mean we need fewer workers and that some people would basically be left behind or left out. Right now, the argument predominantly is still that we will have the same number of jobs. It's just people are going to have to do different things.
Thanks, John, for that call at 800-642-1234. Heather, we were talking about a training for a new job a little while ago. Is that a part of a federal policy, state policy? Are policymakers trying to figure out ways to help people make that transition? And I guess to anticipate what kinds of jobs are going to be needed by the time that training is done?
I'm sorry to say that in that I was surprised to learn myself in that 1.9 trillion stimulus package that's on the verge of becoming law, there is no money specifically allotted for retraining. Now, some money, quite a bit of money, is supposed to go to states and cities. And what we saw, for instance, Wisconsin's neighbor Michigan last year used some of the CARES Act money, that big bill that passed last March. They actually did a great program for retraining frontliners degrees for frontliners, and they had over 100,000 people, a lot of people who work in grocery stores or who work as those EMTs in the ambulances, signed up because they want to earn an associate's degree at a community college or perhaps get a new certification like a commercial driver's license. And I think that just shows you that even people who have jobs in this pandemic are seeing the changes in the economy and wanting to try to better their prospects going forward.
Let's go back to our callers now. Aaron is with us in Green Bay. Aaron, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am mainly calling about jobs in the school systems. So I'm a public school teacher, and we have had many, many positions go advertised every year that aren't filled just because people aren't applying for them. And I'm really afraid that now I am not leaving the school of education, or I'm not leaving the field of education this year, but we have a lot of teachers, especially the older ones, who are being pushed out, early retirement, too much technology, that kind of thing. And it's becoming nearly impossible to replace them. I'm really afraid that there's just not enough people getting the education required to be a public school teacher.
Aaron, thanks for that call. At pre-pandemic, Heather, I know here in Wisconsin, in any way, we had concerns, especially rural schools, of finding teachers, especially in certain specialties like STEM fields, special ed, and more. This is something that's a tall order to train that person. You know, you need pretty much 4 years plus to become a teacher. So that might be a tall order for some of the jobs we're talking about to go from restaurant to third grade teacher.
Yeah, it's an excellent point that Aaron made. It's interesting. You don't have to take it from me, but the head of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank, Neel Kashkari, he made this point last week when I interviewed him, that in situations like what Aaron is describing, when employers claim they can't find enough workers, guess what? The real solution is paying people more. It's raising the wages. Now, that's obviously controversial, as some of those teacher salaries are coming from local tax base, and so nobody ever likes to raise taxes either. But when you cannot find qualified workers, the traditional response is you need to raise wages. So there's also a debate coming out of this pandemic. Are we going to see some wage increases in certain professions? I would also just like to add, Aaron makes a great point that there's been a lot of in her area, there are positions that aren't being filled. But what we also know, and we just saw this on Friday in the latest Labor Department statistics, is one of the areas that's still losing jobs, hemorrhaging jobs in this crisis, is actually not restaurants. Restaurants are starting to add back. But education jobs are still getting cut across the country. So there's both unfilled positions as well as cuts going on across the country.
Thanks for that call, Aaron. We got an email from Marilyn who says she lost her clinical position at Marquette University in January. Marilyn says, I had planned to work 3 to 4 more years, and this loss has negatively impacted my retirement plans. I'm 62 and have great concern regarding finding a position given my proximity to retirement. And that's, you know, economists talk about, the long run. Well, Marilyn's not thinking long run. She's got another few years in her career. This could really shake things up like the Great Recession did for people in that, you know, I was going to retire in 3 to 10 year category.
This is the population I worry about the most. I wrote a lot about it coming out of the Great Recession. What I found, having spent a lot of time at areas like Lordstown, Ohio, where a car factory would close, is yes, retraining works. And it's not, you know, sometimes people can find other jobs, but it generally works for people under 45. And when you get over 45, it's very hard to switch careers. It's just for the reason Marilyn is describing. Everybody knows this person probably only needs to work a couple more years. A lot of companies will not take chances on people once they get even above 50, let alone above 60. This is a really, really big problem in the U.S. economy. We definitely have, I believe, from my reporting and from reading economic research, I do believe age discrimination is real in the hiring process. And I wish I had better news for any programs that are going on at the federal level. I do not see that right now.
Marilyn, thanks for writing in. Best to you. Heather, in our last less than a minute now, what are you watching for next on these stories?
Well, I think there's definitely going to be a surge probably this summer in hiring. We're already starting to see a little bit of it with some of these restaurant jobs beginning to come back. But the big question is how many people will still be out of jobs by the end of the year. And I have a bad feeling that could still be several million people who need jobs and more importantly, need careers that pay well.
We'll leave it there. Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for your time.
That was Heather Long, economics correspondent at The Washington Post. She joined us for a look at the future of jobs when the pandemic is over.